Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and we're reading today from the Journal of John Wesley, continuing the story of this man of God of the 18th century, that's the 1700s, in England, Scotland, Wales, and that whole area. On page 235 of his journal, he writes, "After preaching at four, because of the harvest, I took horse and rode easily to London. Indeed, I wanted a little rest, having ridden in 7 months about 2,400 miles, 2,400 miles on horseback. Can you imagine it? Now, this is a man that's about, he's in his mid-50s at this point as he writes that. Let's go to another section here on page 284. Monday, the 28th, we're moving to 1765 now. That means he's in his early 60s. I breakfasted with Mr. Whitfield, George Whitfield. Their lives will intertwine through this whole book and through Whitfield's book too, who seemed to be an old, old man, being fairly worn out in his master's service, though he has hardly seen 50 years. And yet it pleases God that I, who am now in my 63rd year, find no disorder, no weakness, no decay, no difference from what I was at 25, only that I have fewer teeth and more gray hairs." That's John Wesley, age 62. Let's keep on looking here for things. A lot of gems in this little book. I'm not reading them all. Here's a quick one. "I preached in the evening, Wednesday, January 2nd, 1771. He's about 68 now. At Deptford, a kind of funeral sermon for Mr. Whitfield. George Whitfield was very sick during his life and died earlier, much earlier than Wesley. And here is Wesley at his funeral preaching it. In every place I wish to show all possible respect to the memory of that great and good man." So those who are trying to divide the church based on some doctrines they disagreed on, they're in the wrong arena if they're thinking Wesley is going to support them in any way. "A man of 70 preaches to 30,000 people," is the head on this one. "I preached in Illogan and at Redruth, Sunday 22nd in St. Agnes Church Town at 8, about 1 at Redruth, and at 5 in the amphitheater at Gwenap. The people both filled it and covered the ground round about to a considerable distance. Supposing the space to be 80 yards square and to contain 5 persons in a square yard, there must be above 20,000 and 30,000 people, the largest assembly I've ever preached to." He's 68 years old. "Yet I found, upon inquiry, all could hear even to the skirts of the congregation. Perhaps the first time that a man of 70, I'm sorry, 70 years old, had been heard by 30,000 persons at once." Wow. Let's keep looking here. I'm skipping a whole lot of things now, because although there's no repetition of actual facts, the stories start to sound alike as he's delivered once and again, as his health is strong and as the weather is bad, and it's just so much of it that we can't take it all in. So I'm skipping a lot. Wesley enters his 80th year now, 1784. "As I was coming downstairs, the carpet slipped from under my feet, and I know not how, turned me round and pitched me back with my head foremost for 6 or 7 stairs. It was impossible to recover myself till I came to the bottom. My head rebounded once or twice from the edge of the stone stairs, but it felt to me exactly as if I had fallen on a cushion or a pillow. Dr. Douglas ran out, sufficiently affrighted, but he needed not, for I rose as well as ever, having received no damage but the loss of a little skin from 1 or 2 of my fingers. Doth not God give his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways? Wednesday the 26th, I preached at Thirsk. Thursday, at York. Friday, I entered into my 80th year, but blessed be God, my time is not labor and sorrow. I find no more pain or bodily infirmities than at 25. This I still impute, number one, to the power of God, fitting me for what he calls me to. Two, to my still traveling 4,000 or 5,000 miles a year. Three, to my sleeping night or day, whenever I want it. Four, by the way, the word want in the Old English is the same as our word need. So whenever I need to sleep, I can sleep, he said. Number four, to my rising at a set hour. And five, to my constant preaching, particularly in the morning. So he says, if you want to stay healthy, you do these things. You preach a lot, you travel a lot, you get up at the right time, you sleep whenever you need to. And especially you just know that God has equipped you for that particular calling in your life and you praise him for it. All right, another couple of pages here. Let's see what's happening to this 80-year-old man. May I begin to live today, he says, 1783, Sunday, the 5th, we met to renew our covenant with God. We never meet on this occasion without a blessing, but I do not know what we had ever had such a large congregation before. Sunday the 19th, I preached at St. Thomas's Church in the afternoon and at St. Swithin's in the evening. The tide is now turned, so that I have more invitations to preach in churches than I can accept of. Yeah, you won't see a whole lot of the persecution stuff now as his years go by. As he says, the tide has turned. He has, not single-handedly, but he has, by the grace of God, turned a nation around toward God. He's constant traveling, and constant, they get it to know him more and more. They listen to his message more and more, and they are saved and changed. And you won't hear this in the media type news of that day or ours. All right. Today I entered on my 82nd year, and I found myself just as strong to labor and as fit for any exercise of body or mind as I was 40 years ago. I do not impute this to second causes, but to the sovereign Lord of all. It is he who bids the Son of Life stand still, so long as it pleaseth him. I am as strong at 81 as I was at 21, but abundantly more healthy, being a stranger to the headache, toothache, and other bodily disorders which attended me in my youth. We can only say, the Lord reigneth. While we live, let us live to him. In the afternoon, I went to Gainsborough and willingly accepted the offer of Mr. Dean's chapel. The audience was large and seemed much affected. Possibly some good may be done, even at Gainsborough. Tuesday 29, I preached in the street at Scotter to a large and deeply attentive congregation. It was a solemn and comfortable season. In the evening, I read prayers and preached in Ostown Church, and again in the morning. Wednesday the 30th, in the evening, I preached at Epworth. In the residue of the week, I preached morning and evening in several of the neighboring towns. This man's 82. Did you hear how many times he's preaching here? Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? All right, let's do a couple more here. 50 years growth of Methodism. I was now considering how strangely the grain of mustard seed planted about 50 years ago has grown up. It has spread through all Great Britain and Ireland, the Isle of Wight and the Isle of Man, then to America, from the Leeward Islands through the whole continent into Canada and Newfoundland. And the societies in all these parts walk by one rule, knowing religion is holy tempers, striving to worship God, not in form only, but likewise in spirit and in truth. Tuesday, June 28, we're in 1785. By the good providence of God, I finished the 82nd year of my age. Is anything too hard for God? It is now 11 years since I have felt any such thing as weariness. Many times I speak until my voice fails, and I can speak no longer. Frequently I walk till my strength fails, and I can walk no farther. Yet even then I feel no sensation of weariness, but am perfectly easy from head to foot. I dare not impute this to natural causes. it is the will of God. You notice how that has changed over the years. I didn't read all of those times, but he gets to a new age limit, and he says, this is because of this, 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 and this, and of course, because of God. Now he's, this, 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 and this is all gone. And he's attributing everything now to God, that he would live this long and still be as active without being weary. A very enviable position, wouldn't you say? All right, we're moving on here in the story. It doesn't always stay quite like that. He will weaken one day. Sunday, March 1st, being leap year, I considered what difference I find in my increase of years. He's still talking about it. I find, one, less activity. I walk slower, particularly uphill. Second, my memory is not so quick. Third, I cannot read so quickly by candlelight. But I bless God that all my other powers of body and mind remain just as they were. Saturday, June 28. I this day enter on my 85th year. And what cause have I to praise God as for 1,000 spiritual blessings, so for bodily blessings also? How little have I suffered yet by the rush of numerous years? It's true, I am not so agile as I was in times past. I do not run or walk as fast as I did. My sight is a little decayed. My left eye has grown dim and hardly serves me to read. I have daily some pain in the ball of my right eye, as also in my right temple, occasioned by a blow received some months since, and in my right shoulder and arm, which I impute partially to a sprain and partly to the rheumatism. I find likewise some decay in my memory with regard to names and things lately past, but not at all with regard to what I have read or heard 20, 40, or 60 years ago. Neither do I find any decay in my hearing, smell, taste, or appetite, though I need but a third part of the food that I did once. Nor do I feel any such thing as weariness, either in traveling or preaching. I am not conscious of any decay in writing sermons, which I do as readily and I believe as correctly as ever. To what cause can I impute this, that I am as I am? Well, first, doubtless, the power of God fitting me for the work to which I am called, as long as he pleases to continue me therein. Next, subordinately to this, to the prayers of his children. And may we not impute it as inferior means, one, to my constant exercise and change of air, two, to my never having lost a night's sleep, sick or well, at land or at sea, since I was born, third, to my having slept at command, so that whenever I feel myself almost worn out, I call it, and it comes, day or night, four, to my having constantly, for about 60 years, risen at 4 in the morning, five, to my constant preaching at 5 in the morning for above 50 years. And six, to my having had so little pain in my life and so little sorrow, so anxious care. Even now, though I find pain daily in my eye or temple or arm, yet it is never violent and seldom lasts many minutes at a time. Whether or not this is sent to give me warning that I am shortly to quit this tabernacle, I do not know. But be it one way or the other, I have only to say, and then he quotes a poem, my remnant of days I spend to his praise, who died the whole world to redeem. Be they many or few, my days are his due, and they are all devoted to him. I preached in the morning on Psalm 90, verse 12, in the evening on Acts 13, 40 and 41. I endeavored to improve the hours between to the best advantage. Sunday 29 at 8, I preached at Misterton, as usual, about 1 to a numerous congregation at Newby near Hexie, and at about 4 at my old stand in Epworth Marketplace to the great congregation. Sunday, July 6, I came to Epworth before the church service began and was glad to observe the seriousness with which Mr. Gibson read prayers and preached a plain, useful sermon. But I was sorry to see scarcely 20 communicants, half of whom came on my account. I was informed likewise that scarcely 50 persons used to attend the Sunday service. What can be done to remedy this sore evil? Okay. This day I enter on my 86th year. I now find I grow old. My sight is decayed so that I cannot read a small print unless in a strong light. My strength is decayed so that I walk much slower than I did some years since. And three, my memory of names, whether of persons or places, is decayed until I stop a little to recollect them. What I should be afraid of is, if I took thought for the morrow, that my body should weigh down my mind and create either stubbornness by the decrease of my understanding or peevishness by the increase of bodily infirmities. But thou shalt answer for me, O Lord my God. Let's do this one more here. I preached at noon in the High Street in Helstone to the largest and most serious congregation which I ever remember to have seen there. Thursday the 20th, I went on to St. Just and preached in the evening to a lovely congregation, many of whom have not left their first love. Friday the 21st, about 11, I preached at Newlyn, and in the evening at Penzance. At both places I was obliged to preach abroad. Saturday the 22nd, I crossed over to Redruth, and at 6 preached to a huge multitude, as usual, from the steps of the market house. The word seemed to sink deep into every heart. I know not that ever I spent such a week in Cornwall before. Sunday 23, I preached there again in the morning and in the evening at the amphitheatre, I suppose for the last time. My voice cannot now command the still increasing multitude. It was supposed that they were now more than 25,000. I think it scarcely possible that all should hear. Thursday, October 8, I am now as well, by the good providence of God, as I am likely to be while I live. My sight is so decayed that I cannot well read by candlelight, but I can write as well as ever. My strength is much lessened, so that I cannot easily preach above twice a day. Did you hear that? 85, 86 years old, and he's concerned that he can't preach over twice a day. But I bless God, my memory is not much decayed, and my understanding is as clear as it has been these 50 years. We have one more episode, one more time we'll get together about Wesley and see how his end comes. I wanted to say something, I don't know if I said it yet or not, but John Wesley did not leave the Church of England. You will see this about George Whitefield too. The two great classic men of God of that century and that place did not leave the established church. They were not dissenters officially. They did dissent, but they didn't have to leave the church to do that. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say, if I'm trying to say anything, but I thought you should know that. Some of you might need to hear that today. God bless you. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. We will talk again, Lord willing, very soon. Bye-bye.